What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the Information Technology Career Academy located at Godby High School. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, producer of 411 Teen. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Austin Locke. Austin is, like everyone else, a student at Godby High School. He's in the 10th grade, and he's interested in band, soccer, and photography.
Hey.
Glad to have you. Elton Burgess, junior, into graphic design and film.
How you doing?
Doing well. Miss Andrea Colson, she is the Godby High School teacher in the IT Academy.
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to talking with you. Sherelle Thompson. Sherelle is a graduating senior. She will be attending TCC in the fall. She enjoys traveling and volunteerism.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Lillian Andrews, 9th grade. That means we'll have you back. She likes basketball, track, volleyball, and music.
Glad to be here.
Welcome, all of you, to 411 Teen. The Information Technology Career Academy at Godby High School offers a challenging academic curriculum for students who are interested in various areas of information technology and computers. The program prepares students for continued education and numerous industry certifications while in high school. My opening question is, I'd like for you to kind of give an overview of the Information Technology Career Program. I mean, when did it happen? Where is it? And I'll turn to you, Ms. Colson, for this.
The program started out at Lively Technical Center and moved over to Godby to kind of give it a school within a school approach. It's a career preparation program that allows the students to have their traditional education, but also be prepared for entering the workforce. So the students can look into various activities, as in tech support, networking, web design, digital design. And then there's a general track for students that are not quite sure where they want to go, so they get a little bit of every one of those programs. So they still travel together in a cohort, but they have the opportunity to participate in athletics, any extracurricular activity, and still kind of be involved at school in the traditional school.
Now, what's the process if one wanted to become a student in this academy? What is the process for admission?
There is an application process. If you're a student at the school, it's fairly easy. You just come over and you fill out an application. You can do it online. You can go to the office. You can come to the technology building and do it. If you're not a student that's going to be headed to Godby High School, you can check with the school choice program and say that you want to be a part of the IT Academy at Godby High School. You fill out the application for school choice, submit your application, and the required documentation for participation in the program. And then you get a call back to say, hey, welcome, and we'll look for you when the school year starts.
Now, is there a deadline? I mean, and I refer to students who may be unsure and think over the summer and they hear this program and they're inspired and maybe they want to become a part of it.
Well, typically we do our recruitment in January, February, because there is a March 1st deadline for the school choice program. So if you don't belong to the school zone for Godby, the school choice deadline is March 1st. Students that are maybe coming from a school in their zone for Godby, they have a little more time. They can contact folks at the school during the summer and let us know what their interests are, and we can do our best to place them.
Okay. How large is the program? How many students do you have? And when does it start? I mean, do you start at 9th grade? Obviously, I guess you do. But let's say someone decided they weren't in it in 9th grade, but they became interested and wanted to join it in the 10th grade or the 11th grade. Is that an option?
Yes, we are growing stronger each year. We're getting more students. Right now, we have a little under 200 students. And yes, you do start in the 9th grade, but we have had 10th graders on campus go, wow, what's going on over there? I want to be a part of this. So they come in 10th grade year, and they can come into the program and kind of catch up with the other students and get done as much as they can.
Well, my question to you students is, what was the appeal? What made you want to become a part of the Information Technology Program? And I'll start with you, Lillian.
I was always interested in computers, and I use it for all social networking and everything. Mm-hmm. I just thought it'd be smart to know all the gist of better situations to use it in.
Mm-hmm. So you just wanted to kind of broaden your exposure and involvement with the whole technology.
Yeah, and it's helped me through other things like labeling and doing stuff for my mom that she mm-hmm. didn't know how to do on the computer.
Well, I know us old folks, adults, are particularly out of it. I look at, you know, 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds, and they can get on that computer and just whiz through, you know, very easy. Elton,
yeah.
What was the appeal? Why did you become a part of this program?
The opportunities.
And by opportunities, what are you talking about?
I saw in middle school, the IT Academy came to my school, and I, at that point, I didn't know what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know if I was going to go to Gabby. So I seen the IT program, and I saw it as a gateway for other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually swung me over to God, because at that point, I didn't know where I was going to high school.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's what kind of steered you to go into God.
Yes. Yeah.
Austin?
What appealed to me was the fact that everyone uses computers in their daily life. I use it a lot. I even before I became certified and what they have allowed me to become certified in, I used all those programs I had available, and without even knowing all that I was doing some stuff that professionals and that were doing. But I was going to go to Godby, but I've always wanted to be in a program that they offered, and IT just caught my interest because it's technology, and I do everything on technology. So having the experience to become certified in these and actually broaden my chances of having a job out of high school have helped influence me to stay mm-hmm. in this program.
Now, Sherelle, I guess you've been at the longest. You're getting ready to graduate. What was your motivating factor?
Well, being the second generation class to graduate from the program, mm-hmm. I remember the appeal being curiosity. I was always wondering, if this program is new, what all can it offer me by the mm-hmm. time that I graduate? And a lot of the credentials that the program offers us as students, I didn't know that we can use it later in life to advance in the workforce. So when my mom told me that they were coming to my school and that I need to pick up all these different brochures, I just was very curious about all the different career paths. And so I came in starting web design, and then I ended up finishing in networking. So I've always been the curious type mm-hmm. of person. So the fact that this magnet program was at a school that I was already zoned for just allowed me to become more involved within the program.
Now, will you be continuing in information technology when you go to TCC?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so it really has had a major impact then.
Yes.
Okay. How does this program differ from the traditional kind of high school curriculum?
Well, the traditional students have the opportunity to have honors weighted classes, to take advanced placement classes, to have dual enrollment. However, their electives are slightly different. In the Academy of Information Technology, their electives are already laid out. So once they choose the path at the ninth grade, they start out with an introduction to information technology, and then they branch off into whichever field they have an interest in. And again, as Sherelle said, sometimes they might change. Mm-hmm. But their elective choices for the school year, once they've gotten their core courses, their elective choices are their IT classes.
Okay. Now, what about the physical setting? I mean, is it separate from, and I know nothing about, you know, is it separate? How is it just enmeshed with everything else, or how does it work?
Well, we're kind of a school within a school.
Okay.
So we have a couple of buildings that are there at the school. The students in their 9th and 10th grade year tend to travel together, so they have their core courses, their technology classes there together. And once they get into the 11th grade and they start their advanced placement or their dual enrollment or whatever they have decided to do, we kind of let them out of the nest a little bit, and they travel more with the traditional school. But they still have lunch with the traditional students. They still have before school, after school. As we mentioned earlier, we've got Austin here is in the band. Lillian plays basketball. Elton is thinking about wrestling. Sherelle is in a lot of different activities, such as the Key Club, the Tri-IT Girls Group, and lots of other things. So they still participate with the other students, but most of their electives are their IT courses, and they stick pretty close to the nest in their IT focus.
Okay. Talk about the teachers. I'd like to hear from you all. Talk about the teachers. Are they, how they differ maybe from your other traditional teachers? What you found, you know, really reinforcing about the teachers? What, Lillian?
I think that all the teachers that have helped with IT want the best for us. And they kind of expect you to do well because they know that you're in this program for a reason. And that you're looking for something to help you in the future. And they all have a positive attitude when it comes to getting your work done. And they support you and they help you through everything that you need.
Okay.
Characters. They're all characters.
Well, that's what it takes. In what way?
They're all different. They're all different. They care about you, and they're special in different aspects. And they also teach. So just teaching, IT is their main thing, and teaching is a side thing. But you can see the passion as they try to help you and try to get you to where they are. They see the opportunities that we have, and they try to, you know, take.
How does that make you feel?
It makes you feel, well, it gets aggravating after a couple months of, you know, I told you so, and all kind of, you know. They see the passion brings more, you know, they get at you a lot more, and you build. I see my relationships with my IT teachers are much stronger than my normal teachers of the common goal.
Okay, Austin, what's your take on the teachers?
They're all fun to be with. They all have their own sense of humor, and they just make class fun. They, like, I'm not saying other teachers don't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, all teachers pretty much do it, but like their way is like they'll be on the computer, and as you're doing this work, and if it's related to, they'll be like, oh, hey, if you look at this, this is something we're learning about, but in a more kind of funny kind of look at it, just take a pause from your average work life and have a little bit of fun. There's all these class discussions which usually might go off topic, but somehow if you really pay attention, it is linked to the actual topic.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun in the way that you learn how to do these programs and have fun at the same time.
Okay. Let me ask you to hold your thoughts. I'm going to come back to you, Sherelle. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me again at the roundtable, I welcome Lillian Andrews, Sherelle Thompson, Miss Andrea Colson, Elton Burgess, and Austin Locke. They are all students at the Information Technology Career Academy. I didn't get your take.
Sherelle, when we were talking about the teachers, and I know you've been in the program longer than anyone else, so I'd like to have you share your experience with teachers.
The teachers at Gabi in the IT program, they all have their own enthusiastic approach to their expertise in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that when you set your career path and you're in these classes, they make sure that you are very much aware of the different certifications that you can receive by being in that career path, and they always let you know of the different career positions, and I think that's important by us being a magnet program to be informed on where these certifications and these different educational lessons can take you, mm-hmm. and they make sure that you're well educated in that, and I feel like they're very focused. Being a set of teachers that have to teach these multitudes of students, and that's one thing that our teachers at Gabi in general and as well as within the IT program are very good at, communication and making sure that the facts are well known.
Sounds like they're great motivators.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like. Share with us, give us a picture of your daily routine, you know, just what your program involves, because I think people are probably thinking, well, what is it? What do they do? And I'll start with you, Austin. Can you kind of share, give us an example of a day or what your program involves as far as your demands?
From the program, the area I'm in is web design, so... Mm-hmm. I get to work in all of these Dreamweaver and other Adobe programs to understand how to create a web page, send it out to a server site, and actually have it on the web for people to see. You can see how it also ties in some of the other programs you learn, like with Word and Excel, because those are the two main ones you can import into that area. So if you know how to set something up in Word or Excel and you want that, and say a website you want, you can have it. So it's kind of demanding. It's work, but if you follow the instructions and pay attention, you will pretty much know how to do it by the time you take the certification test. And it has taken me a few tries because I haven't been used to the style of testings because I'm going from Microsoft to Adobe. So it took me a few tries to get used to how they do their test. But once again, it's all with paying attention, and mm-hmm. I had to go back and look over some stuff. So if you just have a good feeling with what you're doing, you pretty much can excel in the class.
Okay. Now, as we talk about schedule and routine, and I'll direct this to you, Sherelle, you've been in there longest, do you have information technology classes every day, every other day? I mean, how does that work? I know you still have your basic requirements of English and math and all of that. So how does that interface?
Well, our schedules, like Ms. Colson said, we have electives each year, mm-hmm. and once your electives are chosen for that upcoming year, you're in information technology classes every day. So you're continuing to learn, and with a lot of classes, when you first start out into the class, there's always an intro part. That first mm-hmm. week, you're always mm-hmm. just being introduced to all the things that you're going to learn throughout the year. You're always presented with a syllabus, just like all your other classes. Your schedule doesn't change unless you change it or there's a need for change. But you're in an information technology class every day.
Okay. Ms. Colson, we talk about electives. Can you share with us what some of those electives actually are?
Sure. Each day, the students go to their math, their science, mm-hmm. their English, their social studies. They have 6 periods. So they do those 4 classes, and then they have their 2 electives. Once they fall on the track, again, they start out in the 9th grade with an introduction to information technology. And then they fall into one of the tracks. There's the web design track, Well, they learn about designing web pages that can be hosted on the web. There's a digital design track where they learn about digital media and print media. And then there's the tech support networking track. So they start out in, say, Web Design 1, and then the next year they go to Web Design 2, and then their senior year they're in the third level of that class. So depending upon the track they're on, they follow the levels that way.
Okay. Now, what track are you in?
Right now, I'm in Programming and Intro to IT. And in Programming, I thought we were going to stay on the computers the whole time, but near the end of the year, I got introduced to building the BoBot. And I didn't expect to do that as a ninth grader. And I was glad that I was able to because I never knew all the things that I've started learning as I began to build one.
What did you learn?
Just things like programming it to do what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. And just how people now are making things by just telling it what they need to do, like what you do on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And in Intro to IT, I'm learning about Microsoft and Access and Excel and things like that I use daily but never knew the insides about it.
Okay. Now, Elton, I guess at your level, the classes you're taking are a little bit higher level. You're a junior.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Share with me some of the classes that you've taken. What was your favorite?
The class I've taken was Intro to IT.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned... it was web design.
Okay.
Web design. And I got a certification in Dreamweaver, and that was hard.
Really? Why?
It's code. HTML, CSS code is just code. That's building
that's all
website,
it is.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Intro to IT was more of a Microsoft Word. Well, she explained Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint. I still need to get that Excel certification.
Uh-huh.
I'll be working on that. But now, what I'm focusing on is graphic design. I'm in digital design level 3 now, and I plan on going to level 4 next year, and I don't think that's been done before. But, yes, I'm going to learn Photoshop and Adobe Premiere, where you edit videos. And, like, mm-hmm. some movies are made through that same program.
Oh, really?
Exactly. I mean, I'm trying to get that certification next week.
It's impressive.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, a number of you have mentioned certifications. What certifications are available? And what's the criteria? What does one have to complete to get a certification?
A certification is kind of you can say you have, you know what you're doing. They are industry-level certifications that adults take in the field when they've been working with a product for some time and they go out and they take an exam in that product and show that they have the skills that they say mm-hmm. they have. So our students have the opportunity to earn many, many certifications. At the ninth grade, they're able to do many of the Microsoft Office certifications. They can do Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and Outlook, and they have the opportunity to become a Microsoft Office specialist, or some of our that are sitting right here are Microsoft Office masters. So they pass multiple exams. And everybody does that. It doesn't matter what track you're in because we want to get them acclimated to working on a computer and their basic business skills. When they move into web design, they work with Adobe Flash and Adobe Dreamweaver and building web pages and animation. Our students that are in tech support and networking work on the CompTIA certifications. They're A+, they're Network Plus, Cisco Certified Network Administrator. So as they move up in levels, those are the certifications they work towards. And then our students in digital design can do Photoshop and Premiere, and some of them have an opportunity to work in Illustrator and InDesign. So they're doing industry-level certifications, and they're coming out of high school career-ready, ready to go get a job and work right alongside adults.
That's
it's
my
just
next
an amazing
question.
Opportunity.
Where can these certifications take them? That was my next question.
Well, one of the first things we do in Intro to IT is have them go out on their own. They do a little web hunt and find out what these certifications are. And they look around and they see, okay, people that are having these kind of certifications, what kind of jobs are they doing? What kind of skills are they building? And how much money can they make?
Mm-hmm.
So they find out for themselves. They research and they find out and they come back and they go, oh, Ms. Colson, I can start out as a programmer at $50,000 or $60,000, and I have the ability, if I go on to database programming, making upwards of $100,000 a year. And I'm starting out in high school. Mm-hmm. And when I leave high school, I can go straight to the workforce mm-hmm. and get a jump on my classmates who were not doing this career preparatory material. So they have the ability to make big moves when they leave high school.
So am I? Is it fair for me to assume that everyone graduates with some type of certification?
That is our goal.
Okay.
As the teachers for the academy, it's our job to make sure that our students are taking advantage of these opportunities, mm-hmm. that they take these benefits and use them for what they are. So we have the ability for them to intern in their junior and senior year. We've got some community partners that we send the students out to, and they work for the school year mm-hmm. for so many hours a week. And they're getting not just the certifications, but hands-on experience. And they're prepared to go out into the workforce.
Now, Sherelle, you will be graduating. What certifications do you have?
Right now, up under my belt, I have my Microsoft Office certifications, and I also have my IC3 certifications, which is the internet computing certification, and they have its global standards, too. But as, you know, the years go on, the test progresses with technology, so there's Global Standards 3 as well. And so I also plan on making sure that I have my portfolio ready because at the end of, like Ms. Gustin said, the internships, and by being a senior doing internships, we keep up with all the work experience that we have and, like, mm-hmm. the journals that we take down and our timesheets and our time logs and everything that we've done on the job, basically, with the people that we intern with.
Now, what will you all be doing for the summer? Are you going to be using your IT skills over the summer? Elton.
Well, I plan on interning at FAMU on the franchise sports website, helping out with them because they came to Godby earlier this week looking for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan on signing up with that.
Okay. Austin, do you have plans? Maybe you're going to do something with 411 team?
That'd be cool to do something here mm-hmm. With 411 team. But as of right now, I don't have anything planned.
Mm-hmm.
I am, besides all the camps for band I have to do to help with my musicianship and my leadership skills because I'm on the leadership for our band this year and next year.
Okay. I see. Go ahead.
I really don't have anything planned in IT-wise because I have sports going on this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But with Fort Horatio School, I have to stay on top of my schoolwork anyways during the summer. So it'll probably come in handy.
As you think about the program, and I think I may have asked one of you this, what's been your favorite component of the program? You think about it up to this point. I mean, I know you've been in it the least, but when you look back, the year is over, you kind of assess the year. What was your favorite?
Feeling accomplished when I got a certification because we worked for it throughout the year and, like, we'll say it in the classroom, somebody will yell out, "I just got certified in Microsoft Office," or "I just got Access certified, I'm a specialist now." And I'll be thinking, I need to get up there. Like, I need to get my certification. And it does feel good going home to my mom and telling her that I can help her with anything when it comes to computers and stuff because I know what I'm doing now and I'm worked for it.
So you can see where you were and where you've come.
Yes.
Okay. So that feeling sounds like that feeling of accomplishment
mm-hmm.
is very rewarding. Sherelle, you've been there a long time, getting ready to move on. So I'm sure you've had a number of accomplishments, but you want to share your favorite part?
I have a number of accomplishments, but I also have my favorite moments from the field trips to all the hands-on activities to the failures to the time to build back up and make those up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is is always rewarding when it comes down to a magnet program such as information technology, because you're always expecting to learn something every day, mm-hmm. and you always go into something with the open mind because it's technology and you never know what to expect. And so, like I said, with the field trips, we would go on educational ones, but we'll also go on to ones where we're learning.
Let me ask you to hold your thoughts. I'm always interrupting you. You tuned in to 411 Team. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. The ethicist question for today is, how involved should parents be in your college life? Should they have a say in your major, you know, your living arrangements? Just how involved? And Sherelle, I'll start with you because you are graduating and this will directly impact you.
Well, I've always been a family person, so I have always included my family members and my friends as well into my decisions. I've always been that type of person that needed that second brain to just confirm what I'm thinking or to give me a little help on my choices. So I do feel like parents should be involved in your college planning and your higher education wants and goals at all times, because you need that experience. Whether they have it or not, they have been where you were, where you are, mm-hmm. and they can very much help you succeed or point you in that direction of where you need to be.
How involved do you think? I mean, should they dictate? Do you think they should come up with the major for you? At what point do you say enough?
Well, at that point, you're already mature enough to start making your own decisions, and you're already well responsible for your decisions and where you plan on going in life. So no, they shouldn't dictate where mm-hmm. where you are or what you do, but they should be in the loop of okay. what you're planning on doing or what you're thinking. They always should know your mindset.
Okay. What about you, Austin? At what level do you think parents should be involved at your college in your college life?
Well, I think they should be there for support, because this is probably the first time in your life you're going to be away from them. You're leaving the nest, and Mama and Daddy Bird don't want that. So they don't want to see their child go. So they'll probably try to keep in touch somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should dictate your decision, because this is your career you want. It's pretty much your decision. Now they may influence you without you knowing, because that's what parents do. They'll probably throw some reverse psychology on you, and living arrangements, they'll probably kind of have an input. You'll probably want, like, if you're gonna buy a house or an apartment, you'll probably bring at least one of them there, or a trusted friend that you're probably gonna split the rent with, mm-hmm. and like they're just gonna be there to give their input. I mean, you might not think their input's significant, but hey, they bought a house that you've lived in for probably your whole life. It's in good condition, and they're not going to want to see their child live in some dump.
Right. Okay. Elton.
Oh, I feel like parents should be a shadow. As they were the cover in high school, they should mm-hmm. be the shadow. They're supposed to always be there, And when you look at them, they're there. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't be in front of you.
Good point.
They should always, you are, by the time you're in college, you're grown. You pay for your classes. It's time to make
maybe.
you choose your classes. It's time to make your own decisions. Even if your parents feel like it's wrong, at that point, your parents really don't know what's good for you or not. It's your decisions, and it's your mistakes to make and learn from. If you don't learn from your mistakes, how are you going to develop independence?
Okay.
I believe that parents want the best for you. So having mm-hmm. them along on the ride to college and everything would be something good and positive to have. And I have a brother that just went to college.
Okay, and so you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, and the thing he loves the most is support and, like, being able to come back home and see us. And he's always calling and asking about things like how should he spend his money. So it's like he wants to know our opinions and mm-hmm. mainly my mom and dad's opinions. Because he knows that they've been there before, and they know what's best for him and what's right for him. But he still makes his own decisions and, like, what he wants to major in and how he wants to start his career.
Okay, well, that's it for the Emphasis Corner. The Information Technology Career Academy at Godbee High School is one of those unique programs. And I am fortunate to have students from that program today, and it's being very informative. And I, again, would like to thank Austin Locke, Elton Burgess, Ms. Andrea Colson, teacher, Sherelle Thompson, and Lillian Andrews. All the information is just invaluable. Let's look at the assessment. How are students assessed, and how does this assessment compare or contrast to other types of assessment that may occur at the high school level?
Well, they still have their traditional assessments. Mm-hmm. They still have, after a chapter, they have their chapter assessment. After a unit, they have their unit assessment, so that we are testing them to make sure that they're retaining the information. But we are providing them a lot of information. As Austin said, it can be quite involved, and you've really got to apply yourself. So you've got to be a strong student. We've built in a lot of support. So those students that maybe need a little extra push, we're there as a teacher group. We sit together and discuss these students and figure out how to pull together and make it happen. Their certification test, though, is after they've covered the material necessary for the exam. They sit down, and we have a testing center environment, very much like you would as an adult. We have our students come in. They have to remove all their materials and leave them somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They sit down with their computer. The teachers there proctor the exams, and they sit down. And, yes, the heat is on, and they sweat a little bit. But
that's part of it.
They go through the exam, and then they find out the results right away. So we find out if, okay,
that's
hey, you passed, and we do the high five, and it's mm-hmm. so awesome. And then, okay, well, maybe not this time, but here are the objectives you need uh-huh. to look at. This is what we need to cover, and let's talk about what we're going to do. What's our plan of attack? So we get back there, we cover that material, we go back through it, make sure that we're getting prepared the way we need to be prepared, and we go for it again.
As students, how do you feel about the assessment? Do you feel it's fair? Do you think it gives you an accurate reading on where you are and what you're about?
Well, I remember taking my first Microsoft certification, which is Access 2007, and I was dealing with databases. And I remember going through all the quick reviews, practicing my vocabulary, because terminology in technology is very important. You need to know what words mean. And all those things prepared me with my note cards, just like I would study for any other class. I would have to study for these different assessments. And it made it easier, especially having those teachers who are well-equipped and they don't actually need a book to to go through something with you. They know exactly what they're talking about. It's good to have them there for that feedback and to bring them questions, bring questions up to them about the assessment and to get those answers. It takes that pressure off of you as a student, and it makes you a way better test taker because you're always quizzed or you're always well prepared for the assessments that we take.
Okay. From the certifications, it's kind of like you're there and you're kind of freaking out because you're unsure if you actually are going to pass or not. And so it comes to problems that you really do know and you're freaking out. Oh my gosh, what do I do? And then you like, it's kind of like you freak out a little bit. You're kind of like, should I look at other people and see if they're doing what I'm doing? But you know, that's not right because it's not really earning that certification if you're using someone else to get the answer. Like, when you're learning it, it's kind of okay to get help from others. Sure. But during the certification test, it's a no-no. But so I've seen people, whenever they finish, they're, like, putting their hands on the screen because, like Ms. Cole said, you get the results back right away. So they're kind of like, I'm scared to look. And so they'll be, like, opening their fingers and they're shaking, all nervous. And then they're like, yes, I passed. And some people are like high five. And it's like, how much did you pass? 5 points, but I passed.
That's all that matters.
And then some people are kind of disappointed if they fail. And then they'll be complaining on how close they were. Mm-hmm. But it's all in good spirits because, you know, you get a few numbers of tries and then during class. And then you have to go back after school. And it's kind of a privilege that we get to not have to pay for it, whereas elsewhere, like at other schools that do it, or in college or elsewhere, like they advertise on the radio, come and get this class. But I don't think they really tell you you have to pay for your. You can get the class, you can learn, but you're not going to be certified unless you pay. So we kind of get that that special privilege to take the certifications.
Okay. I want you all to think back on, you know, your classes and your experiences. What has been the most difficult component of the program that you've experienced to this point?
Failing those tests.
Okay.
Because we don't we take the test in, like, the second semester, something like that. Second semester, and it's like you've been working all up to that point, and you still fail, and that lowers your confidence as much as any test. But it's like this is the field that you like, and that this is supposed to be your specialty. And if you don't even seize this opportunity, sometimes you feel like, "Am I good enough for this field?"
Okay. But and how do you overcome that?
Studying and hands-on experience. Certification test is more. It's not just you study the book and that's it. You have to actually open the programs up and look through them. You know, because there are some questions that that ask you what to do, and you have to know where those things are. You just don't need to know the terminology. You have to get an in-depth in all aspects of that program, and that's why. It might be really hard. Even if you study, you might lose by a couple points, but that's hard.
You agree, Lily?
Yes, I do. But one of the most difficult things that I've seen and that I've experienced was staying on top of my game during.
And what do you mean by that?
Like learning. Because you can't make a mistake or skip anything because you're not going to get all the information that you need. And once you go through it the correct way, you learn more, and you don't even know that you're learning all the things and material that you're going to need for the test coming up.
Now, I'm back to you, Sherelle. I'm sure you have a wealth of knowledge since, again, you are that graduating senior, and congratulations again to you. As you look back on, I guess, your 4 years of being involved in the program, you kind of peruse each year and think about the classes and the adjustment and the changes that you have made. What do you think was the most challenging, the most difficult for you?
Well, like all the other underclassmen have said, failing can be hard, but knowing the reason why you failed helps you comprehend how you can get better. And like I said before, note-taking and studying is the same when you're learning anything or when you're trying to adapt to a new program. And like Elton said, knowing the ins and outs of the program, looking at it from every way possible, can very much help you on the certification exams and also assessments in the class because you're not always on the computer. Okay. We have books, we have textbooks, and we also have packets that we're given to take home and look over. And a lot of the in-class components that we use, we can't access them online at home. So we're given all the tools that we need to excel in the course, as well as asking your teacher, well, when you were first introduced to this program, how did this help you? What challenges did you face? And they would teach us keyboard shortcuts. They would teach us how to update the program, just everything outside of the box, in the box, around the box, everything that we need to know. And I felt that failing is not the end. Mm-hmm. It's really not an option, especially in technology, because you're always going to be able to advance and be able to move on because that technology has to get better.
Mm-hmm. It's just about making that step, taking those steps. Would you agree, Austin?
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, you don't want the failing to get you down on these certification mm-hmm. tests. And the certification tests are technically the final exam for that class. Like, in middle school and high school, you have midterms and finals. And those are usually really hard. They're supposedly hard, but compared to something that a test that's going to certify you in something that people in college and adults looking for these certifications are taking, it's challenging because as they're coming out with new programs, they're changing the design of these programs. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you look at the Microsoft programs, you'll see how they've changed significantly from 2003 to 2007. Like, I was used to working in 2003, and whenever I came to middle school and high school, I'm like, I was trying to figure out this. I'm like, because even in middle school, I think I still used 2003. So it was kind of trying to understand the new layout.
Mm-hmm.
And the intro to IT class we offer for ninth graders actually helped me a lot.
For someone who's not, you know, information and technology savvy, it seems like programs are always changing. Are they? Is that me? Or I want a reading on that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Technology is growing and changing, mm-hmm. and it's an ever-changing field. And the new applications that come out, they just get better and they get better. Mm-hmm. You see the iPad, and it's changed. Just as soon as you get your hands on one, there's
it's
a new
in,
one.
Right.
Same thing is so for the technology programs or applications that we're using. So then the exams are ever-changing. The certification mm-hmm. exam changes. So every 2.5 years or so, you might see a new version of an exam. So we try to stay not cutting edge or bleeding edge, but leading edge so that they're getting the best of what's out there and they have the opportunity to train and learn with those tools and then take the exams with those tools. So someone like Sherelle may have, she took, like she said, the IC3 Global Standard 2. Well, then 2 years later, there came 3. So there's a newer version mm-hmm. out, but that does negate her credentials.
Okay.
Right? And she still can go. And some of these programs offer bridge exams. So if you've already mm-hmm. been certified in this, you just do a little bit more to get the new certification or to upgrade to the next thing.
All of you mentioned hands-on. And I would like to have you talk about how you interface with the community and community partners that you may use?
We have an advisory board that is quite active. They are very good at getting our students involved. We're allowed to go out and the students intern or just shadow for a day with one of our partners. They purchase things for the students to use. You heard Lillian talk about using the robots and that sort of thing. And they're just there to help tell us, to help guide us. They're in the field, and they are using most of these tools so they can tell us, okay, this is what we're looking for the next group of students that come up. These are the skills that we want them to have. So as teachers, as educators, we can hear what they're saying and say, okay, we need to infuse this in our material for our classes. So they are a huge help, and we thank them for being a part of what we've got going on.
Well, time has just flown, but I would like to get your input on, let's say there's a student who's interested in becoming involved, participating in the program. Sherelle, since you've been here the longest, what kinds of things would you share with this student? Would you share to this with us? You know, they're kind of, I don't know if I should get into it. If you were going to give them kind of an overall view of the program, what would you say to them?
I would encourage them to come into the program and have an interest already in mind. And if not, look around and ask questions. Always be aware of what you want to do, or have your mind open to new things, and to also be capable of staying on top of what's going on inside of the program, because it's, like Ms. Colston said, it's ever-changing. And don't worry about not having the time to hang out with your friends or be social, because our school is very integrated and there will be time for community service.
Well, I would just like to extend my sincere appreciation and thank you for sharing all of this very valuable information. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org.